Morality alone does not make one a Christian. Nicodemus, remember the ruler that came to Jesus at night? Nicodemus was a good man, but he had to be born again. Jesus said to him, "Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus was a leader among the Jews. He was a religious man. He was a good man, spiritual man. Jesus said, unless you're born of the water and of the Spirit, you will not see the kingdom of God. Cornelius, we mentioned that first Gentile to obey the gospel, was a good man. Acts chapter 10 and verse 2 says that he was a devout man, one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. He's not just a good man, he's a good spiritual man. He's one who has even influenced his family to be the same way. Feared God with all of his household. But he had to hear words by which he and his household would be saved. In chapter 10 and verse 6, this is where the angel told Cornelius, he will tell you what you must do. Peter will tell you what you must do. Not should do, ought to do, but you must do this. And it's in chapter 10 and verse 48, after Peter has taught the household of Cornelius who Jesus is, that they came to believe that Jesus was the Christ, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. What did Peter tell them they must do? You must be baptized in the name of the Lord, by the authority of the Lord. He had already explained that Jesus was that Lord. No doubt had explained that Jesus said that you must be born of the water and of the Spirit. How that Jesus commissioned the apostles to go and to preach the gospel to everyone. That he that believed and is baptized would be saved. That they were to continue to teach them all things whatsoever they had been taught by Christ. So not all good people are Christians. You have to be born into this family. Not all religious people are Christians. Some heathens are described as religion in the Scriptures. Remember in Acts chapter 17 that Paul stood in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious." Paul had been walking around in Athens and had seen all of the different images that had been made to the various different Greek gods that the people of that society honored and worshipped. He said, I perceive you're a very religious people. Were they Christians? No. We might drive around in our community and see many church buildings and say, well, this is a very religious community. And that would be true. But does that mean that they are Christians? That they are followers of Christ? Not necessarily. Some religious practice is vain. In Matthew 15 and verse 9, Jesus said, "In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." When we add to or subtract from the Word of God, the doctrine of Christ that guides us into all truth, when we modify it in some way, it's no longer the doctrine of Christ. It's no longer what God has given us. We've made it vain. It's a doctrine of men. And you say, well, we've adapted a lot, most of what God gave us. Change it in one way, and it's not God's. God doesn't have anything to do with it. So who are Christians? Well, first of all, a Christian is something someone is, not just what someone is called, or not just what someone calls themselves. Wearing the name Christian involves a life of duty, of doing the will of God in our life. Calling someone a Christian when they do not serve Christ in accord with His doctrine, nor display the character of Christ, does not make someone a Christian. We have to abide in the doctrine of Christ. Live by following Him. To be a Christian, one must be in the family of God. Where does God give that name? In His house, in His family, in the church, as we saw. Isaiah 56 and verse 5, I will give in my house an everlasting name. And then again, we notice 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15, the house of God is the church of the living God. Those who are members of God's house, family, the church, have the responsibility to support and uphold God's revealed truth. To remain in this family, it is the covenant that God makes with us. Many assume the family name without being in the family. But they are illegitimate. To be a Christian, one must be born into this family. In John 3 and verse 3, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And then again in verse 5, Jesus explained, one is to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And unless he is, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13 tells us, by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body. It is the Spirit of God who gave us the Word of God that teaches us to be baptized, to be born again, to be born of the water and of the Spirit, to be baptized into one body. That one body is His church, His family, His house. Colossians 1 and verse 18 says that Christ is the head of the body. We're baptized into one body. Christ is the head of the body. That body is the church, His church, the church. Pay attention to articles in Scripture. It's not a church, not some church. It's the church. Christ said, I will build my church. You want to be a member of Christ's church. And you can do that. You can be a member of the family of God in Christ, be born into that family, and continue to follow Christ. Continue to follow and obey Him. So what is a Christian? So many places we could turn, but if you would, consider with me 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. As His divine power, God's power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given them to us right here. How do we receive them? Through the knowledge of Him who has called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature. We're all partakers of the carnal nature by our physical birth. But to be partakers of the divine nature, we need to follow those things that pertain unto life and godliness. So we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, excellence. The pursuit of excellence. And a virtue, knowledge. You can't pursue excellence if you don't know what you're pursuing. And a knowledge, self-control. Once you know what you are to pursue, you have to practice self-control to pursue that and to deny the things of the world. Practice self-control. To self-control, perseverance. How long are we to do that? Always, continually. And to perseverance, godliness. If we do that, we will be like God. We'll take on the characteristics of God. We'll be holy as He is holy. Be pure as He is pure. Be others-focused instead of self-focused as God is others-focused. He has our best interest in His mind. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And the brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd ask you a question. Do those things appeal to you? Does faith and the pursuit of excellence and following Christ, does that appeal to you? Is that what you would like to do? Then follow through with it and become a Christian, a follower of Him. He who lacks these things is short-sighted. You're not looking to the spiritual. You're not looking to eternal. You're just looking at the here and now and the momentary pleasures that you want to have through the lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes and the pride of life. He who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and is forgotten. And he was cleansed from his old way. Yes, this is written to Christians. Encouraging Christians to pursue excellence. Not just good enough, but pursue excellence. Follow Christ. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about that. Every time that you sinned, that you messed up, was it because you were pursuing virtue? Was it because God had taught you to do that? No, if you do these things, you will never stumble. And we would say, well, that's true. In fact, every time I've been tempted and I thought about what God has taught me, I found a way to escape. And I made my decision to serve God and glorify God. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18 just simply says, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the favor of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Through the knowledge that He has given to us from His Word and the practice of that which we have learned. Grow in that. So again, a Christian is a follower of Christ. You're in a worship service today. A worship service that worships God in spirit and in truth. But are you a Christian? Are you following Christ? Are you committed to following Him? Not only when you're here, but more especially after you leave here. And in your every day that you walk throughout the week. Are you following Christ? If you answer that question, no. If you honestly examine yourself and say, well, no, I'm not. I haven't been baptized for the remission of my sins, first and foremost. I haven't been born again. I haven't been born into this family, the house of God, those who are saved. You know, everybody, I think everybody wants to be saved. What do I have to do to be saved? Well, you have to believe in Jesus. You have to turn from yourself and to follow Him. Confess Him as the Son of God. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. And a lot of people just hear that point. Okay, remission of my sins, that's in baptism. I want to be baptized. I want to be forgiven of my sins because I don't want to go to hell. Okay? That's one motivation. But that's not the end of it. Jesus said, abide in my word and you will know the truth. And the truth will make you free. What did He say before you will know the truth? You will be my true disciples. A disciple is a learner. You learn so that you might do. And if you learn and you do, God will call you a Christian, a follower of Christ. So yes, be born into this family, but to continue to learn and do, like those on the day of Pentecost, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And so also will you. If you're not following Christ, but it's your desire to, it's your desire to grow in faith, to grow in favor with God. That's all He asks of any of us. And we ask you to come as we stand and sing this song.